I want you this morning to take your Bibles and go to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. And this morning on my heart is the message entitled The Last Days Revival. A Last Days Revival. I want you to look in 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. And when you have found 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter number 34, I want you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34, verse number 1. The Bible is giving a history of the Jewish temple, the Jewish people. And it says in verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles 34, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they brake down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images, and that were on the high above them, and he cut them down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces, and he made dust of them. And he stowed it upon the graves of, or strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon the altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, he had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Father, I'm asking you now in the name of Jesus, glorify your name. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You be seated this morning. Now, in order to understand what I have just read, you have got to understand the chapter leading up to what I just read. The man that we have read about, his name is Josiah. Josiah is a godly king. The Bible says that he does that which is right in the sight of the Lord. He is a good man, a godly man, a man that walks after the God of David, his father. We learn that Josiah is a man that begins reigning at 8 years old. By the time he is 16 years old, he is wreaking havoc upon the false altars of the world. By the time that this boy is 20 years old, he is destroying things that belong to the false gods. And by the year that he is 20 years old, he begins the process of building up the house of God. Now, in order to understand what he's breaking down, you've got to understand his father and his grandfather. His father is a man by the name of Amon, and his grandfather is a man by the name of Manasseh. These men are two of the most godless men that ever reigned on the throne of Judah. In fact, the Bible says that Manasseh is so godless that he did worse than the people that were in the land before he came into the land. He defiled the land and made the people to defile the land in ways that the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites never thought about defiling the land. This man has got to be awful, awful, awful godless. And so the Bible says that here is Judah, and they are wallowing in a moral valley that is lower than they have ever been before. Honey, they are rolling around in the mud of their sin. They are like hogs that are rolling around in the slop and in the mire and in the mud of the filth of their lives. I looked up that little word mud as I thought about their sin. Do you know what has to be present in order for mud to be around? Two things. Number one, dirt and water. And in order for mud to be present, the dirt has to overwhelm the water. That is what creates sin. Whenever our sin overwhelms the moving of the Holy Ghost of God, And whenever there is more sin in our lives than there is God in our lives, we end up dirty and defiled and rolling in the muck and the mire of sin. But do you know what that tells me about water and mud? If there is mud, that tells me that at some point, that tells me that at some day, that tells me that in some fashion, there has been a moving of the Holy Ghost of God. Because otherwise, where did the rain come from? Where did the water come? If there's never been rain, then where did the mud come from? Here's the point. If there's mud, there has been water. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking around in the nation. I am looking around in this time. I am looking around and I'm watching the same riots that you're watching. I am watching the same unfolding of events that you are unfolding and watching. I am watching people wallow in their sins. I'm looking at some of the old timers in this room, and you have in your mind the idea, my God, how in the world have we ever arrived at the place that we have arrived at? How have our people ever become so depraved? And how is it that they are wallowing in their mud and in their sin? You know what that tells me? That tells me, number one, that tells me that at some point the Holy Ghost of God has moved in this nation, and that is how we know that there is wrong. You cannot know that there is wrong unless you know that there is God, because where else does wrong and the idea of wrong come from? It comes from a law. Where does that law come from? It comes from God. You say, preacher, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, let me put it to you like this. There was once a day, there was once an hour, there was once a time in this nation where our forefathers and our ancestors wrote a little document called the Constitution of the United States of America. It was preceded by a document that was called the Magna Carta. Our forefathers wrote it before they ever descended off of the ships that brought them from the motherland. And this is basically what those documents say. They say that since there is a God, and since there is a sovereign, and since there is a creator, we have been given certain unalienable rights from our creator God. You say, I've never heard that. Ladies and gentlemen, all you've got to do is crack open Google and Google Declaration of Independence. You say, I've never heard that before. That is the problem. The dirt is overwhelming the water, and we need to get more water, and we need to stop having mud, and we need to start seeing some puddles, and where the puddles are, we need to start seeing some little ponds, and where the ponds are, we need to start seeing some lakes, and where the lakes are, we need to start seeing some rivers, and where the rivers are, we need to start seeing some oceans that are flowing. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that where the mud is, you know what the difference between a mud puddle and a river are? You know the difference between the two? It's one difference. There's more water in the river than there is in the mud puddle. It has nothing to do with the amount of dirt, because if you go down to any river or pond or ocean, at the bottom of that, do you know what's at the bottom of a river or a pond or a lake or an ocean? It's just a bunch of dirt. It's a bunch of grime. But do you know what overwhelmed the dirt, honey? You know what overwhelmed that mud? Do you know what, Lord have mercy, do you know what overwhelmed that? It's when a whole bunch of water came out of the sky. It's when a whole bunch of water fell from the heavens. Do you know what's going to overwhelm our sin? Do you know what's going to, I broke my watch. Do you know what's going to overwhelm our time? Do you know what's going to overwhelm our problems? Do you know what's going to overwhelm our nation? It's when the good God of eternity steps out of his world and steps down into our world, and God gets bigger than our sin, and God gets bigger than our mess, and God gets bigger than our muck, and God gets bigger than our mire, honey. There is nothing happening in this world that an ocean breeze or a wave of God's glory flowing across our land. You say they're putting into law things that God calls an abomination. I'm glad there's a God in heaven today that can forgive sin and overwhelm sin and wash away sin. You say, my family, they claim to live this lifestyle. I'm telling you about a God this morning that's got so much power, and he's got so much blood, and he's got so much grace, and he's got so much mercy, that there's never been a building that a hurricane couldn't knock down. There's never been a tree that a hurricane couldn't knock out of the way. And when God comes down their way, and when God gets to moving in their life, I'll tell you what'll happen. They may think they're a big bad somebody. They may think that they're a big bad tire. But when the winds of glory start blowing over their life, and start blowing over their soul, and start moving in their life, honey, they'll get to swaying. staggering, and they'll get to staggering, and they'll say, what is that? And you'll just sit back and say, hip them, Jesus. Get on them, Holy Ghost of God. We'll sit back and we'll watch the winds of glory sweep over their life. You say they're too far out. No. The God that created everything, and the God that made everything, and the God that formed everything, his arms too big, his hands too wide, his family's too big, and his power's too great. He'll get anybody. He'll sweep down, pull them up, pull them out, put them on the solid rock. God can do anything. You say, how do I know? The God that made panda bears and polar bears and black bears and grizzly bears and made kitty, now he made kitty cats. They're from hell. He made dogs and he made all of those other things, ladies and gentlemen. The same God that made the stars. He took the hammer of his power against the anvil of his glory and he began to smack out stars. He put them on his fingertips and he blew them out into space. And the little cheese ball we call a moon, he put that up in the sky. He said, don't move, but I want you to take care of the tides. And then he took the sun. He put the fire on his thumb. He took a ball of helium. He took a ball of sodium. He took a ball of oxygen. He took a ball of iota. He took all of these things and he molded them around the fire on his thumb. And he made the sun. And He said, I want you to stay there, and I want you to rise in the morning, and I want you to set in the evening, and don't you move a muscle until I tell you to move. And honey, for thousands of years, the sun has ruled the day, and the moon has ruled the night. Do you know how that is? Because there's a big God out in eternity that made that sun. You say, does that sun listen to God? It listens to God so much. One day, old Joshua stood up. He said, God, I need that sun to stand still. God said, no problem, brother. He told that sun, he said, don't you move a muscle. Ahaz needed to see the sundial go back. He said, don't you move a muscle. I'm going to shift the earth just a little bit. I'm going to keep it on rotate. And the dial went back 10 degrees. Honey, this is what I know, that the God that made the sun and the God that made the stars and the God that made the moon and the God that made the galaxy and the God that made the planets and the God that made he made the solar systems and he made Saturn and Jupiter. And I don't even know if Pluto's a planet anymore. They change it week to week. But he made everything that is in this universe, honey. The God that made that is the God that made you, and the God that made you and saved you and changed you and rearranged your life. He's a God that can reach down into every barroom, into every crack house, into every apostate's house, into every atheist's house, and he can pull them up. You say, they don't believe God. I'll tell you, when a God that big gets in their way, they'll start believing him real good. You know why? He'll shake hell out of them. He'll put heaven down in their soul. And honey, the God that saved you, he's a God that saved them. And that is what Josiah is thinking about. Now, honey, here's what I know. When Josiah is writing in chapter number 34, can you hear it? The drumbeat of Babylon's army is on the way. Judah is about to be destroyed. Judah is about to go into captivity in about 50 years. And there's Josiah. The judgment of God is about to sweep down into Judah's life. Why? Because sin has run rampant and God is going to judge sin. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I hear? I hear the drumbeat of the judgment of God coming against our land. You don't kill 3,000 babies every day and God not send the judgment. You do not condone what God condemns and God not send the judgment. Man, you do not run around on your wives and shack up with other women that you're not married to. Ma'am, you don't treat your husband like a fool and flirt with every man in the world except your... And God. But you know what I see? Not one time does God ever sound the drumbeat of judgment because of the world's sins. You'll never find it in that Bible. God sends judgment when his people walk in sin. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as the drumbeat begins to flare bigger and louder, do you know what the drumbeat is saying? People of God, what happened? Church of Christ, what happened? Why are you wallowing in the mud? Why are you wallowing in your filth? And the drumbeat of judgment is coming not because of Barack Obama, but because of every building that has church on the sign and their sin. Here's what I know. Meat only rots when salt stops preserving. Darkness only reigns when light stops shining. And the world can only thrive when the church stops being the church. And when we start living in darkness, here comes the drumbeat. Now watch chapter number 34. This is what I know. Judah's in their last days, and so are we. You say, is Jesus coming? Yeah, Jesus is coming. Is he going to come today? I have no idea. The Bible says he could. This is what I know, whether Jesus comes today or whether Jesus comes in 1,000 years, America's days are numbered. The ventilator is going up and down on America. The heart machine is slowly pumping the blood. She's on her last leg. Now, chapter number 34, it should have begun, and God sent judgment to Judah. But if you look at chapter number 34, how does chapter number 34 begin? It does not talk about judgment. It should have. But what does the Bible say? Josiah was 8 years old. Honey, that Bible should have talked about how that Judah deserved hell. That Bible should have said how God was going to judge Judah. That Bible should have said that God was sending Nebuchadnezzar right away. That Bible should have said that the gates were going down and the walls were going to crumble, but it did not. Do you know why? Because God is getting ready to initiate a revival that is going to save His people for an entire generation. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you this morning that the God that saved you and the God that saved me, He's a God that will not let us go. He will not give us up. He will not turn us aside. He will not throw us by the wayside. Just like a mother with a baby, even though that baby cries, even though that baby wants a bottle, even though that baby messes in its diaper, a good mother will not cast that child aside, but it'll change that diaper and it'll give it a brand new bottle. And the God of glory today, He doesn't cast His people off because we mess on ourselves or because we live like the world or because we cry or because we whine, but our God initiates. Ladies and gentlemen, aren't you glad that chapter 34 does not begin with, and the judgment of God was a coming? It begins with Josiah. Now write this down. Do you know what Josiah means? Josiah comes from a word which means foundation. Here's the point. Josiah, the name Josiah, it means Jehovah is my foundation. Now watch this. Judah should be a towering building, should it not be? Judah should be a spiritual giant, should it not be? It should be the Empire State Building, spiritually speaking, of the world. But here's what's happened. The devil has taken Judah, and the devil is shaking that nation, and the devil is shaking that culture, and the devil is shaking that people, and the windows are breaking out, and the roof is falling off, and he's gotten them down to their bedrock. But here is what the devil did. Dear God in heaven, I'm feeling good the more I'm talking about this. He shook them down, and this is what the devil did not realize. The devil did not realize that when he got them down to the foundation, he thought they would be done. He thought they would be through. He thought they would be out. But you know what the devil found when he got down to the bottom of their foundation? He found out, Josiah, that Jehovah was their foundation, that Jehovah was their bedrock. This is what the devil doesn't realize, honey. He is shaking this nation, and he's pumping this nation full of poison, and he's shaking us down to our bedrock, and he's shaking us down to this. This is what the devil doesn't realize. The devil doesn't realize that there's a group of people in this nation that they will not bend to his whims, and they will not bow to his ways, and they will not swallow the poison of his people. And he's shaking us down, and he's making us uncomfortable. And we're saying, dear God in heaven, I don't know that I can put up with this. I don't know that I can handle this. And he's shaking us down. But you know what he's going to find when he gets down to the bottom of the barrel? He's going to find at the bottom of the barrel, there's a group of people that love God. There's a group of people that love his word. There's a group of people that will not shake, and they
they will not shimmy and they will not limbo to his tune, honey. They won't dance to the devil's tune. They will believe God. They will trust in God. You know why? Because Jehovah made them and Jehovah fashioned them, and it is Jehovah that keeps them, honey. I tell you today, I don't care what the government says. I don't care what the Congress says. I don't care if they riot at our door, and they may riot at our door come next week, but this is what I know. As a God pumping in my heart, and the Democrats didn't buy me, and the Republicans didn't buy me, and the Independents didn't buy me, and the Green Party didn't buy me, and Bernie didn't buy me, Hillary didn't buy me, Donald didn't buy me, Gary didn't buy me, Pat didn't buy me. You know who bought me? His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and he paid for my debt on Calvary's hill, and I bow to him. I dance to his tune. When he says jump, I say how high. When he says dance, I say how long. When he says go, I say where. When he says turn right, I say how far right. When he says go left, I say how round do you want me to go, Lord Jesus? He's the one that sought me. He's the one that bought me. He's the one that taught me. He's the one that wrought me. He made me, and honey, he paid for me, and whatever he says is what I'll do. Where he says goes, where I'll go. You know why? Because the devil can shake us, but what he doesn't realize is he may be shaking off things that don't need to go. He may be shaking off people that don't need to be there, but he'll never shake God off of me. He'll never shake God out of me. He'll never shake Jesus out of my soul. You know why? Because he's in there. He's staying there. He's signed there. He's sealed there. He's concreted there. And let the devil shake, because God is going to do what God wants to do. And there's nothing the devil wants to do about it or can do about it. So here's what he's doing. God is going to initiate this revival in the last days of Judah's life. And he's going to raise up Josiah to do it. I wonder this morning who is in this building. There might be a Josiah in this room. Could there be a man or a woman? Could there be a Billy Graham under the sound of my voice? A man that says, God has put something in me and I've got to say it. Could there be a little young 8-year-old girl who started the Welsh revival when she stood up in a prayer meeting in the nation, in the land of Wales, and all she said is, they asked, does anybody have a word of testimony before we close? And she raised her little 8-year-old hand and she said, I have a word. I love Jesus. And Jesus loves me. And honey, they say in the Welsh revival, Dr. James Stewart writes about it, he talks about when rend the heavens. He says when that little girl said, I love Jesus and Jesus loves me, they said the glory of God came out of the eastern parts and swept across that little church. Old drunkards started coming to the church. They stopped praying and they stopped preaching and they sat there in the church as they started weeping and wailing in the church because somebody said, I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. They said the glory of God hit from the back of that church and swept into the front of that church. All of a sudden, barrooms started getting emptied out in the middle of that prayer meeting that went well into the hours of the morning because people were coming and getting saved and church members were coming and getting right. And that revival lasted for over 10 years, the Welsh revival, and its effects lasted an entire generation. Do you know why? Because there was a little girl that God had put his hand on that stood up and said, I love Jesus, and Jesus, you say, I don't believe it. Well, then I can promise you Jesus ain't going to use you like that, but there is somebody in this room that does believe God is able and does believe God can use them, and that very well may be the Josiah that God uses in these last days, because I'm telling you this, though the drumbeat of judgment may be sounding, there is a drumbeat of revival that God will send, because the Bible is very clear. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayer, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't say when all the people, he said if my people, he didn't say how many, he said if it was a group of people that would get right with God, he would send the waves of glory over the land, he'd send the waves of glory. This is what I know it doesn't have to be all of this nation that can heal this nation, it doesn't have to be every church that can send revival to these churches, but I know this, if there is one man that'll stand up, one woman that'll stand up and say, come hell, come high water, if it hair lips the devil, I don't care what happens, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to walk right, be right, walk right, walk tight, spit white. I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to live for God. I will be used if nobody else goes. I will be used. So he raises up Josiah. And I'm going somewhere. He says, hold on. All right, just hold on. I'm going to get you. Just hold on. I got to get you there before I take you there. He says he raises up Josiah. But I want you to notice what Josiah does in verse number 3. In verse number 3, Josiah begins acting when nobody else does. This is what sends revival. Are you ready? We find out Josiah does 3 things. Number 1, he returned. Look at what it says in verse number 3. In verse number 3, the Bible says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet, what? Young. There could be a Josiah sitting with the mind of a 15-year-old. This morning, there could be someone who did not even graduate high school yet that God will use to sweep revival into our church. Today, there could be a man that did not even finish middle school because he had to go to work. And God will blow across his life. And it says in verse number 3, it says he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to do what? Purge Judah. Can I remind you that before God is ever going to inhabit a vessel, it will have to be a pure vessel. Before God is ever going to fill a box, that box has got to be clean. And before God is ever going to send revival into this nation and into this land and into this church is going to have to do some spiritual house cleaning. Ladies and gentlemen, I may sound like an old-time preacher. I may sound like a 90-year-old man, but this is what I know. You can't live for the devil on Saturday and ask God to show up on Sunday. You can't live for the devil Monday through Friday and get God to do for you on the nighttime what you want to undo in the daytime. You can't get God to walk with you purely when you want to live like hell the rest of the week. I'm telling you this, when you fill your mind and your body and your soul with the devil, don't be surprised what comes out are the devil's words and the devil's mindsets and the devil's actions. But here's what Josiah said. Josiah said, I don't care who likes it. I don't care who lumps it. I know this is what God wants and this is what God likes. I'm telling you right now, if there would be somebody that would say, I'm tired of the filth, I'm tired of the junk, I'm tired of this, I'm going to do right, I'm going to honor God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can like me, bump me, like it, lump it, but I'm just telling you, I'm tired of living for the devil. I'm tired of walking in his ways. You say, preacher, what am I going to have to do? Some of you are going to have to cut contact with somebody that is full of the devil and full of the filth of this world because they're dragging you down and they're making you walk in sin and making you live like the devil. Some of you have got to cut it off. I mean, shake them off, get them out, take the number out of your cell phone, unfriend them off Facebook, untweet them, refollow. I don't have any idea. I'm telling you, just get rid of them. Stop looking at their pictures on Instagram. Stop. And some of you are so tied down to the past that you can't even get on the computer without wondering. You got them in their email, and you're just looking at old email. I'm telling you what you need to do. You need to cut it off and look to the future and realize the future is brighter than the past will ever be, and realize God's out there and he ain't back there, and I'm going wherever God is. I'm telling you, some of you right now, you need to call Time Warner Cable or DirecTV and cut out the HBO. HBO's nothing but hell's box office, and God ain't within 1,000 miles of it. You can like it or lump it. I'm telling you like it is. God ain't in it. God doesn't like it. And God, you say, do you have cable? No, I don't have cable, but yes, my kids watch TV. But this is what I know. I pay the bill. I paid for the TV. I pay the house payment. And as long as I'm the father of the house and I rule the house, I'm going to give account to God. They're not watching that filth. They may watch it one day, but it ain't going to be with my blessing. And it ain't going to be with my help. Here's why. You say, I'm under contract. Pay the contract as long as you got to pay the contract, but get it out of your house, because I'd rather pay the contract than to pay for it with my kids' souls as they burn in hell, honey. This is what I know. I want to live pure. I want to live right. You say, you're preaching holiness. Dear God in heaven, I'm glad somebody is going to say that God is holy, therefore I will be holy. God is right, therefore I will be right. Your ears can get just as red until they pop. I don't care. God likes it, whether you like it or don't like it. It is right. It is truth. Be ye holy, for I am holy, thus saith the Lord God. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, they didn't buy me. They didn't make me. They're not going to take me to heaven. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to live for God. You say, is God going to honor it? This is what I know. He said, if I turn from my wicked ways and walk in His, you say, you don't have any fun. Dear God in heaven, I got more ADHD in that pinky finger than more energy most people got in their entire body. I have fun when I go to CVS, son. I stuck my arm in that blood pressure cuff the other day. I got to crying for that pharmacist. I said, it's saying my blood pressure is 500 over 300. She called 911. She came out there. I gave her a big old hug. I said, honey, this is what I know. If blood's flowing in my veins that high, it's got to be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the God that saved me. You say you didn't do that. No, I didn't, but I thought about doing it real good, but my wife wouldn't let me. This is what I know. The people of God ought to be the happiest people in the world. They ought to be the most joy-filled people in the world, but this is what I know. The most miserable people I'll ever meet and you'll ever meet, it'll be the people of God that are walking in sin. Here's why. Because you're not going to be able to enjoy the sin and you're not going to be able to enjoy God, so you're stuck in a no man's land. So this is what I know. When you wash your hands of this world and put your sights on God's kingdom, I'm telling you what God will do. God will put heaven in your soul. He'll shake hell out of your life. He'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. You say, I don't believe it. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. We're going to see who God does and blesses the best. This is what I know. I'm walking with God. I'm trusting. You say my teenage children are not going to like it. Dear God, they're not going to like it if you do everything in the world they want you to do. It's time to start letting God honor the thing and honor God with your stuff. You say, but they're part of ball. My God in heaven, why don't you just put you a field goal inside of hell and go ahead and punt them to the devil's kingdom, because that's what you're going to do. You need to get God in their heart, God in their life. You say, you don't have kids. I got two kids, and my kids got more devil in them than you have ever thought about having in your kids. But this is what I know. No matter what they think or what they like, me and mama are going to be the ones that stand at the judgment seat for them and not them. And I'm not standing there and let God look at me and say, why did you love the world more than you loved your own children? I don't care what anybody thinks. And neither should you. Neither should you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I know. He says, if you'll return. Then he says, number two, I want you to reform. All of a sudden, Josiah, son, he gets to tearing down Jack. He tears down the Bible. Watch this in verse number three. Look at what it says. I want to show you something in your Bible. I want you to see something. Verse number three, it says this at the end. It says, he purged Judah and Jerusalem. Watch this. See this phrase? From the high places and the what? The groves. Now watch this. Don't lose this. The high places, what was that? That would have been the mountaintops, the high peaks of Jerusalem. What were groves? Groves were groups of trees. Now here's the problem. Where are the groves at? They're in the valleys. This is what the Bible's saying. From the top to the bottom, Josiah cleaned house. It says in verse 3, he got rid of the molten images and the carved images. Here's the point. No matter what it was, Josiah got rid of it. And I'm telling you, there is not a room in your house that God doesn't know what's in that room. And there is not a room in your heart that God doesn't know what's in it. Whether it is up here or whether it's down there, God reads your mail. And God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get rid of it. Sweep it out. I want you just to wash it away. Get it out of your life. So he says, I want you to return, then I want you to reform. Now watch number three. He says, I want you to rebuild. Will you look there in verse number 10? There's a little phrase I want to show you. And this is what's blessing me more than anything I ever know. Verse number 10, look at what it says. And they put it in the hand of the workmen. Here's what Josiah's done. Josiah's taken up an offering, and they're going to repair the house of God. And he put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Bob, watch what this phrase says. It says, they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord. Here it is. To do what? To repair and what? Amend. Now, I don't know about you, but those two words seem very similar to me. To repair and amend. Those are the same, but they're not. The word repair means to fix. But when you look up the word amend, it means to strengthen.
This is what Josiah said. He said, we're going to fix it, and we're going to make it stronger than it's ever been. He said, David built it one way, but we're going to make it stronger than what David made it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what I know. I've heard so many people say, well, this isn't the old day. You aren't the old group of people. You're not the old this and you're not the old that. But this is what I know, that there is a God in heaven today, and He has a group of people that if they will get it right and do right, this is what God says. God says, I will fix it and I will make it stronger than it's ever been before. This is what I know. I know that I'm a part of a church today that God says this, if you'll get the church right, I'll make that church stronger than that church has ever been. There's Christians in here today, God says, if you'll get your heart right and if you'll repair, I will make you stronger than you've ever been before. There are praying men and women in here, God says, if you'll get everything right, I will fix it and I'll make you stronger in your praying than you've ever been before. God says there are people like Fanny Crosby and praying John Hyde back in the day. They lived their life and they were absolute behemoths for the glory of God. But God says, in that last day, I'll send a revival. In that last day, I'll sweep across you with glory and with power like a tidal wave of God's omnipotent grace. He said, I'll sweep across and it'll be better than it's ever been before. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live in that day of better than ever before. God said, in your marriage, I can fix it and I can make it stronger than it's ever been. He said, with your children, I can fix it and make them stronger than they've ever been. He said, in your mind, I can fix it and make it stronger than it's ever been. But in order to do that, you've got to come back to me and you've got to change, and then we'll rebuild. You see, most people, they try to do construction projects like Brother Bubba does it. Instead of just cleaning house and tearing it all out and rebuilding from scratch, they want to build around stuff. And the hardest way to do a good construction project is to build around stuff. It's better if you go in there with a hammer and a mattock and a jackhammer and tear the bad stuff out and start from scratch. Now, Brother Scott, I'm done. You can play for me, my brother. Can I take your Bible, and I want you to flip over one page. Because here's the third part of revival that they taught me not to do this in homiletics. They say, never end a sermon on a depressing note. But if I'm going to be true to the Bible, I have to end this message on a depressing note. Will you look in verse number 22? Because Josiah finds the... What happens is he finds the scripture, Bob, in the house of God. And they take it to a prophetess. Her name is Huldah. And in verse number 22, can I read it to you? It says, and Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, the son of Harish, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. Basically, what they're asking her is they're saying, prophetess, if we change, is God going to send revival to our people? Is He going to save our nation? It's what she says in verse 23. She answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for you, the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, because thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest these words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbled thyself before me. Verse 28, he says, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place. and upon the inhabitants of the same. This is what God is saying to Josiah. He said, Josiah, you're asking me, can revival save this nation? And the answer is no. He said, this nation is going to be destroyed. He said, the law of sowing and reaping, you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. You sow to the devil and sown to the wind, and you'll reap the whirlwind. But Josiah, I'm not going to do it in your generation. I'm going to do it in the next generation. Here's what you and I need to understand. Judgment is coming. God will repay the innocent blood that we have shed. Judgment is on the way to our land, and there's no revival that will stop it. Not one. But we can pacify the anger of God for a generation. But His people must get it in their heart to repent before a holy God. God has put this word in my heart for the people of God. And as we begin on the process of seeing revival sweep into our church, may it change our heart to be holy and honest and repentant before the God of heaven. Our heads are bowed. How many of you just join me on this altar? Oh God, have mercy on our babies. Have mercy on our children. Let's stand together this morning all over the house. Have mercy on our church. All God's looking for is just a few people. Just a few people that will be holy. Just a few people that will be right. Just a few people that will walk holy before Him. And just a few people that will honor God. That's it. God bless you all. How many of our visitors would come just down to this old-fashioned altar with the people of God? You've been saved by the grace of God. Oh God, have mercy on our land. Have mercy on our people. Have mercy on our children. Have mercy on our church. I repent of my sin. I repent of my way. I repent, oh God, I repent. Now, Holy Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I come. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy, Holy Ghost, I pray now that you will begin burning and birthing in our church's life and in the minds of our church. Oh God, a people that will walk holy before you, that will live according to the Word of God, not what some preacher says, not what some church says, not some legalistic, not some you follow my rules and standard, but a people, Lord, that love you from their heart. A people, Lord, that walk with you because they love you, not because the preacher said that they should. God, my prayer has been, oh God, give to us fruit that remains. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll send revival. Oh God, send revival to our church.